we're looking at the Drugs Assembly, because yesterday it was announced that the former boss of the HSE, Paul Reid, will head up the Citizens Assembly on Drugs, which is due to start on the 14th of April. Gabby, what's the reaction been to Paul Reid's appointment?
Largely quite positive, but we did see Green Party TD Patrick Costello raising concerns. You know, he's saying very much so Paul Reid is too close to the HSE to be tasked with chairing the Drugs Assembly, Citizens Assembly on Drugs. Of course, Paul Reid was the CEO of the HSE for many, many years. Look, I think it's certainly something that's very much so long awaited, and even from different arms of government. I mean, even now we're seeing, you know, Fianna Fáil TDs talking about potentially decriminalising drugs. That was something that maybe even 10 years ago you would have never seen. I mean, your colleagues Paul McAuliffe and James Lawless talking about it now. 10 years ago, I don't think you would have ever expected to see that. I think it's welcomed in many arms of politics, but there is this debate of, you know, how far do we actually go? Do we begin with cannabis? Do we do all drugs? Do we just decriminalise them? Do we categorise them differently? And what impact is it actually going to have on people? Are you going to be in a position where you go down to your pharmacy and you can buy, for example, you know, cocaine? Or are we going to have coffee shops like they do in Amsterdam with cannabis? So it's all about, I think it's a positive to have these conversations. Of course, the Citizens Assembly, they produce a report, government then considers it. But what is it that actually happens after, and what impact is it going to have?
Padraig Tobin, let's start with the Assembly, though, first. The outcome of Assembly will be as good as the expertise it draws on, be that experts or communities who have had upfront, frontline experience with drugs.
Yeah, what you put into a Citizens Assembly is what you will get out of a Citizens Assembly, to be honest. And I do believe that we need to have all voices. There's a large section of the medical community who are very, very alarmed in relation to the talk of decriminalisation at the moment. You know, people are talking about a health-led approach. Absolutely. But there's nothing stopping the government deliver a health-led approach. Now, in my own constituency of Meath West, there is no residential drug rehabilitation centres for young people. If you want to get off drugs as a youngster, you can't get off it. There's no dual diagnosis services for young people. My worry is that, you know, Fianna Fáil will tick this box. They'll put their finger in the wind to find out which way the wind is blowing on this, and then they'll go in that direction. But come the other side of this, there won't be the necessary investment still for that health supports that people need.
Hang on a second. I just want to go to Cathal Crowe on that, because you did mention Fianna Fáil there. Cathal Crowe, you're too interested in public sentiment and not interested enough in public health, what do you say?
That's a very cynical view of things.
Hang on a second, let Cathal Crowe answer now.
I made a life choice about 2 years ago to get on the bike more. So I get the train, I cycle to and from Euston Station. I see drug addicts the whole way along the quays. I engage with a lot of drug addicts at home. I know a lot of people who live very normal lives, pay mortgages, go out to work every day, and they smoke cannabis at the weekend. I lived in Belgium for a year, and I was often in the Netherlands, and I saw their approach to it. It's not perfect, but just by way of illustration, cannabis there is grown on farms. It's regulated by the Department of Agriculture. It's not laced with rat poison. It's not laced with acid, with heroin. It's taxed. It's sold in appropriate venues. And yet, it's not perfect. They're scaling that back.
So you're talking about legalisation. You're going beyond decrim there.
Well, actually, the Netherlands is decriminalisation.
But there's the Portuguese approach. There's other European approaches. At the moment, and for years, the approach has been head in the sand. That simply doesn't work. We're the first. We have a national strategy on drugs, and we're looking at this. And this is one commitment we gave in government. I think it's right. You know what? It's modern, progressive to bring people together and have an informed debate.
But before even a Citizens' Assembly is set up or changed, policy changes looked at, maybe people do need to see well-resourced addiction services and tertiary services like trauma counselling and everything else that gets to the cutting edge of where drugs have their worst impact. And if those resources were in place, they might be more open to a policy change that looked at a different approach to the law enforcement side of things.
Yeah, I get that. But I mean, 70% of the drug cases in our courts are for people who have been are for possession for personal use. Okay, so you have these ridiculous cases of people with €2 worth of cannabis in their pocket. Okay, so I think people need to understand what decriminalisation actually means. What we're talking about in the Labour Party is decriminalisation of the drug user, which is a very different discussion than decriminalisation of a particular drug.
And now, hold on, decriminalisation of how much in terms of possession?
Well, that has to be determined. In Portugal, it's 10 days' use. We can have a discussion as to what the intervening guard would determine as being personal use or not. But, I mean, effectively, what we're trying to convince people here, and the Red Sea poll at the weekend was really encouraging from my point of view. I'm at this 10 years in terms of campaigning around it. We managed to get the injecting facility legislated for, not open yet, but legislated for. And there was a level of sort of progressive debate around that, and people came around to the conclusion that it was the way to go. Now we have voices from a lot of mainstream political parties talking in terms of decriminalisation of the drug user, including Fianna Fáil, which I welcome. In terms of what we're trying to achieve here, look, if somebody in your family told you, somebody that you love deeply, told you that they had a drug issue, would you ring a guard or would you ring a doctor? Who would you want interfacing with that person that you love?
All right, well,
and I think most people would say a doctor. So the point here is that this is not an hold on a second. Now. This is not a non-interventionist approach. People assume that decriminalisation means that somebody's caught, you know, consuming something and they let go. In Portugal, what happens is there's an intervention. You're put in front of a dissuasion committee, which has a nurse, a doctor, a counsellor on it, and they talk you through your addiction and talk you through your drug use. And what's happened over the course of the last 20 years is that drug deaths have gone down by 75%. Now, the point of this entire assembly is saving lives. The problem in our society is we don't value the lives that are lost because they're poor. And if we had a different view, we might actually save these lives.
Well, here's somebody texting in who's against a more liberal drug regime or a different drug regime. They're texting into 51551. Those right-on types calling for a more permissive drug regime have an overly romanticised view of drug use, but this is a million miles away from the reality of someone shooting up in a doorway.
Absolutely not, but hold on. The injecting facility is a classic example of how that would change, because somebody who's the way the state interacts with somebody shooting up in the doorway is to arrest them. And it doesn't do anything to help that individual.
Okay. If I could just take up from where you left off,
there's one for you as well. As a disenfranchised millennial, I will vote for Fianna Fáil if they legalise cannabis.
There you go.
I spoke with the drug addicts down along the quays. I've spoken with some of them. I expect it, because of where they were living and the steps they were sitting on, that they were in inner city dubs. A lot of them are not. They've come up from the country because there aren't needle exchanges, methadone clinics in a lot of counties. Sláinte Care talks of regionalisation, spreading healthcare to all parts of the country, and yet our drugs response is...
But that's what you're talking about with travel or accommodation.
There's one point, Fianna Fáil also wants to deal with the criminality of drugs, because we've spoke with the health response. That's front and central. But I certainly don't want to see gangland, and it's certainly on the rise in recent years. I want to see a layer of gangland dismantled as well.
Which
and
you
I
think do that, more that's central.
When you do more,
that's central to this debate.
Okay, all right. One voice at a time. Yes. That issue that Cathal Crowe is talking about, Padraig Tobin, of people arriving up into Dublin city centre because people pretend there are no drugs in their area and they don't want visible addicts availing of needle centres or methadone programmes in their locality as a result.
There is a NIMBYism. There's no doubt there's a NIMBYism that has caused people to move into certain parts of Dublin city centre in relation to that. I cycle past the forecourts every day on my way back to get my car to go home, and on the left-hand side, you know, we see open drug dealing on the other side of the river from the forecourts.
Well, if you don't see it, you can smell it.
It's an incredible situation that you have the centre of the legal system on one side of the river, and on the other side you have open dealing.
But
the key point in this, I just want to say this, is right that, you know, in general, drug use does damage to people. Okay, so in general, we want to reduce this consumption. In general, making it illegal has a deterrent in the amount of use that is undertaken. So alcohol,
really?
Alcohol does far more damage than any drug in this country at the moment, and simply because the use is far more prevalent because it's legal.
But we also haven't touched on a really big cohort of people who use drugs, who use them recreationally at the weekend. And they're usually, I mean, like Justice Minister Simon Harris made this point in the Dáil a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, if you're snorting your way through lines at the weekend, you are funding gangland violence and criminal activity.
Absolutely. And if you decrim it...
Have an addiction and you have a genuine desire to go off and use drugs, I mean, that's very different from going out to the club on a night out and taking a yoke. Those are two different things.
And if you decriminalise it, that illegal market still exists.
No, okay. What I'm hearing from Pathers is that everything should stay as is. We should continue this war on drugs, and we should arrest more people and all the rest of it, and the criminal justice response is the way to go. And it hasn't worked. We have the third highest overdose rate in Europe. and it's not working. So when something clearly doesn't work, the reason why people get addicted to things, by the way, is because of disconnection. There is a disproportionate number of people who are in addiction services because of socioeconomic factors, because they're members of the traveller community, because they're members of the LGBT community, because they're people with disability, because they are actually trying to self-medicate pain and trauma in their own lives. Hold on a second. So the whole point here is what we're doing when you criminalise addiction is you're criminalising poverty and disadvantage.
So I agree actually with Aon in relation to the use of really hard drugs in very disadvantaged areas. But in one of the driving forces of that is the disadvantage. So if the government
wants... Do you see any role for decriminalisation for those hard cases that Aon is talking about? Very small amounts for possession that those people enter into the criminal justice system, and it actually prevents them potentially from making progress out of the trap they're in into full-time employment and the like.
I believe that a health response can be included in relation to that. And there's nothing stopping that health response happening at the moment. But I do believe that it is a deterrent to young people, the fact that it is illegal.
Really?
There's no doubt. There's 6%
really? Of the...
They're everywhere. 90% of people are not using drugs in this situation.
One voice, John. You've made a point. Cathal Crowe.
Yeah, that approach also continues to ignore the thuggish element, the dealer element, just what Gabja referred to. The needle exchange is at one corner of the street. The dealer waits at the other end of it. So the two coexist. We do want to have a health-led... This absolutely has to be health-led.
What's the health-led approach now?
The two need to run concurrent. And I think the scope of the Citizens Assembly gives a very broad remit where both can be explored.
Okay, we're going to give the final word on this to the listeners. We should look at the experiences in Portugal, Uruguay, British Columbia and Canada, where decriminalisation has been in place for a while. Take control away from the gangs. Somebody else texting into 51551. Instead of legalising drugs, why not give schools and communities the proper resources to help young people grow into confident adults? And we're going to come back. We're going to be looking at the public calls for a public inquiry, and indeed the promised public inquiry into the handling of the COVID-19 pandemic after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.